Hi everyone, I'm Madonna Guy and this is David Scheel.
Hello, everyone.
And we're here to talk to you today about stress, survival mode, and why the body won't heal.
Stress survival mode and why the
And
body
why the
won't
body
heal.
won't heal. So David's going to chat about emotional boundaries, people pleasing, freeze response, something like that. And we'll chat about why it increases things like cortisol and messes with our mast cells, gut permeability,
Well,
inflammation, that sort of thing.
that's more your area.
Yeah, that's what I said. And I'll talk about that. Yeah, absolutely. But when we are in these survival and stress patterns, and I don't think we've actually talked about this since you said it, but we were in the middle of something last week and I said about the tiger in the room. So I always think of the survival patterns. Sometimes there's a tiger in the room with you and you're aware it's there. So it just keeps that survival going like 100% of the time because it's right there. Other times it's outside. But it's hiding and you don't quite know where it is, but you know it's going to come at some stage. And sometimes it's more in the town nearby and it just, goes hunting occasionally. So with these the tiger analogy, you never know where the tiger is going to pounce for some people. And you said everyone's got a tiger.
Well, people have more tigers than others.
Yeah,
I
some
suppose
people
it's a
do.
tiger analogy, but the thing about tigers is they're very overt, right? They're very obvious. Whereas a lot of things that cause stress aren't obvious. Like, for example, aggressive behavior is tiger-like. That's what we're looking at there. But a lot of things that people do that cause stress are more subtle. And they're more invisible, so it's more like a witch or something. Not the witches are bad, but it's more like a some sort of subtle thing. Like, for example, the things that cause stress are it's the same as in law. When you're looking at a case, you've got acts and omissions, right? In torts law, and so. And so it works on the idea of what a reasonable person would do in basically in law. And then when you look at a pattern of behavior, like in with children, for example, there's neglect and there's abuse, right? But they have a similar effect on the nervous system and stress levels. Because, and in some ways, neglect is even worse because at least with Because the other thing is, there's in the psychological literature, men tend to externalize, same with boys, and girls tend to internalize their stress. So it's more likely, and the things that are more obvious are tigers. Like, you can tell when a tiger's going to attack you, but if somebody's standing outside your window watching you, you don't even know that's happening, for example. Do you know what I mean? Or if somebody gets really angry at you, like a tiger, rawr, or pounce on you, or harm you, that's external. But internal is not addressing your actual needs or making out that you don't need things that people really need, which keep their positive hormones in balance. Right? Because if our positive hormones are good, we're getting lots of like affection
Serotonin and dopamine and
our affection in our relationships. All types of affection will cause oxytocin, plus it'll cause serotonin, it'll cause all the positive hormones to all go up. But if you're expecting some love, if you're a kid and your parent just ignores you, right, that's neglect. So it's an omission of something should be happening. Something that should be happening, it's not present. Whereas a tiger is something that you want peace or, and then there's somebody like being really intense, like the tiger. And so those two sides both contribute to chronic stress. So in a example, in a couple's relationship, it's just as bad to neglect somebody's needs as all the normal things. But if you look at what a reasonable person is, it's very similar to in family therapy, what we call Murray Bowen, family therapist extraordinaire, calls differentiation. And what it means is the relationships are interdependent, right? In other words, there's not neglect. If somebody needs something, you take care of them, and you don't get too intense, too much chaos, anger, or that sort of thing, right? Because on one side is cutoffs, and on the
Yes.
other side is chaos. And in the middle is integration, independent relationships. When somebody is neglecting somebody's needs or being too aggressive, they're not fostering an independent relationship. In the aggressive stuff, it's often controlling, but in the neglect stuff, it's often controlling as well. Whereas the reasonable person in law is the same as the differentiated person in psychology. They're people who have interdependent relationships and they take care of needs and they don't act in such an aggressive way that the other person loses their freedom.
Right.
Because in all types of personality relationships that are causing harm, which is on your body, there's one of those two things going on usually. Same in child, because everybody talks about child abuse these days, but they often miss out neglect,
Yes.
which is often more destructive because the kids haven't learnt how to be regulated by their parents when they're in need of some emotional care.
Yeah.
And
And
so,
you can imagine how that affects the body on the inside. So from the perspective of the body not healing when we're in survival all of the time, that stuff we always talk about, fibrinogen. So the liver releases fibrin when we
into the blood.
it releases it into the blood, and it's a sticky substance, and it's basically a clotting agent, which is very deliberate in order to, if you're thinking you're under attack and your body doesn't know the difference between being picked on in the kitchen at home or being attacked by a tiger. The brain doesn't know the difference. So it can start releasing this fibrin, which is a sticky spider-like substance, to clot when the tiger pounces. But that clotting agent, if it's in the bloodstream all the time, it's slowing down the body's healing capacity. It's
And
thickening the
it's
blood.
thickening
It's
your blood,
stopping the oxygen from
which
going
makes you more
around.
likely to have a heart attack
Or a stroke or
or a
something like
stroke.
that, absolutely. Or even a little blood clot. There's
And you can see it. You can see, because I've looked at live blood analysis with you, and you can see it. They're like these little cobwebby things that are obviously thickening the area, and the blood cells aren't there. They're kind of all sort of connected in a way. Is that how you describe that?
Absolutely. So instead of the cells just slowly moving, because there's this thing on the edge of the cell membranes called a zeta potential, and stress damages that as well. So the zeta potential is like a charge. Our electric, we are electric human beings. So we have this electrical charge on our cell membranes, which is designed to repel cells from each other. So they're not supposed to get sticky. But this sticky stuff, fibrin, it actually allows the cells to stick together. And then you end up with these little rows of cells just all on top of each other. And then again, it's a inflammatory pre-disease state that isn't allowing the body to heal. But then the other thing happens when you get too much of this fibrinogen, your mast cells make over 200 chemicals. One of them is heparin. So you know the
Heparin.
drug heparin, which is a blood thinner?
And no,
So
I yeah, because I know some people are on it.
our mast cells actually make natural heparin. So if we're constantly going through fight and flight and freeze and fawn, then you can be making fibrinogen, and then the mast cells will kick into action and they'll try to make some heparin to break down the clotting factors. But you can imagine if we're going through this all the time, eventually we can end up with something called mast cell activation syndrome, or MCAS. And MCAS is when these mast cells, they become overactive with histamines and all sorts of other things that are released by the mast cells. And these little chemicals build up around the body. And again, they can be inflammatory when they're not being released.
But people often end up with that condition not only because of stress.
Oh, absolutely. There's lots
Oh,
of
right.
reasons.
Oh, so
No,
stress.
but we're talking about the stress connections today.
We'll
We'll
like particularly
particularly
talk about
talk
chronic
about.
stress,
Yes.
which
Yeah,
is
yeah. So we're talking about survival.
yeah,
Absolutely.
because that's let's make a differentiation here, because chronic stress is something that happens over time.
Yeah. That's
Like
about
the
the
and
tiger.
no, but by the same person or people.
Yeah.
Right. And so, for example, chronic stress. So we can handle stress, and stress makes your blood pressure go up.
Yep.
Okay. So an example is that if you experience a once-off stress, your blood pressure will go up and it stays up for a while, but then it'll come down.
Yes.
Right. And same way, because I have blood pressure issues because had heart attacks in the last 2 years.
Yes.
And what I notice, because I test everything, if I go out and do exercise, like either exercise walking or running,
Yep.
or some heavy gardening, my blood pressure will go right up, to something, something high, 180. But then it comes down really quickly,
Yes.
and it'll go back down to like 122 or over 78 or maybe sometimes. But when I'm stressed, it doesn't actually go down that far. So
Yeah.
if you've got chronic stress, what happens is it stays up all the time.
Yeah.
And chronic stress means can so a place where the a place where that would be likely to happen is in the workplace, where you're getting the same negative interaction every day. And in
Yes.
workplaces, it's very often that somebody's either bullying or ignoring you.
Yeah.
Like, because we both deal with people who have that. And it's like, so sometimes it's the omission of decent behavior rather than the aggression that is just as bad. Like in a workplace, it's very easy to understand that.
Yeah.
Because I've been in workplaces where someone's had a fight and the other person just ignores them. Like for years, they won't even talk to them. The boss doesn't really care because these people do that or those people do that. And you just look at it and you're working with them and you know that the people aren't even looking at them.
Yeah, I had a couple of clients years ago, no, a couple of team members years ago, like I'm talking 10, 12 years ago, and the woman didn't even register the man's existence. They were two team members. We had a very small team, and she was non-aggressively abusive by totally refusing to
Yeah.
acknowledge his
No, that.
existence because he reminded her of someone who wasn't, it wasn't him. But there was something about him that reminded her of another human being,
Which triggered her.
which triggered her.
But if they had have talked about that, if they were able to talk, but the problem is that n distance, it's like neglect
Yeah.
or omission rather than see. So that's not a tiger. That's just,
Yeah.
that's, I
But
don't know how
let's
to.
talk about the mechanism of the blood pressure, for example,
Okay, but
because
before we
it's
do,
your
let's.
body saying, let's get blood to your brain, your heart, your muscles. So it raises the blood pressure deliberately so that you're getting plenty of energy everywhere you need to go.
To your vital
And
organs.
and
So
you
similar
get
as when you
extra
get.
adrenaline and cortisol at the same time, and
So
those
sim.
hormones tighten the blood vessels to make the heart beat harder.
Okay. And
So
that's
that
the.
then raises the blood pressure.
So that's similar to when you get really cold, your blood will all go to your major organs. So stress produces a similar effect to that.
Yeah, so it narrows the artery, it causes vasoconstriction, and that squeezes inwards. So these narrow pipes raise the blood pressure as well, and that increases the heart rate again. So your heart has to pump faster to push more blood to escape or fight. So the faster the pump, the higher the pressure, and it redirects blood away from the gut. So then people don't digest things as well as they should. So the digestion shuts down. The blood is pushed to the limbs and the brain because it's all about running, fight, flighting, climbing, so everything we have to do if we're fighting that tiger. So it increases that vascular pressure. So that, ra and then it raises blood sugar as well because we want to get that glucose. So your liver dumps glucose into the bloodstream for a quick, for quick energy. To
Right.
feed the
Oh,
muscles
okay.
so that again you can do what you need to do. So
But
that,
then you've got too much sugar, right?
yeah, so there's more fluid in the
Right.
bloodstream and it raises the blood pressure again. And that puts you in a ready to run state. So even
Right.
if the stress is emotional, which it, 99 times out of 100 these days, it's more emotional rather than physical, but the body acts as if it's in physical danger.
Okay. So another thing with chronic stress, it has to be repeated.
Yeah.
So it's more
Yeah.
likely to happen in relationships where you can't get away. And those relationships will be family members, right? Or partner relationships or workplace or children with their parents. And
Yeah.
sometimes parents with their children, because some children can be, no matter how much good you do, they can still remain fairly out of hand,
Yeah.
as as a lot of people know.
Well, it's so hard these days, it would be easy if it was easier to get a hold of good, decent food, organic, all that sort of jazz, but
Well,
there's so much refined food here in Australia where nearly 60% of our food is highly refined. So there's no nutrition in it whatsoever, and all it does is create inflammation in the body.
that's if that's what people eat. I mean, there's plenty of healthy alternatives available for
but
If you
that's not what
try a
these
little bit
kids are
more.
addicted to. These
No, I
kids are
know.
addicted to sugar. They're addicted to, white
Yeah.
flour and things that are, so the kids who don't eat that stuff, their brains aren't as inflamed.
Sure. And then there's some kids with because that becomes a trait, especially with kids who are on the neurodevelopmental scale. They often have because it's very often the reason they don't eat, they have textural problems
And
with
they're
the
not
food.
taught from day one to eat the food that's in the house.
I know that, except I'm very much into finding a way to communicate that to the kids because it's a big thing, and especially when because it's fried foods, it's foods with too much sugar, and with kids, those things they produce oxidative stress, especially fried foods too much, and too much sugar gets your glucose balance out. And
Yep, sure
so
does.
it's hard, because we have
And
a
a lot
fairly
of
good.
that's the fried vegetable oils. They're just incredibly high.
So
If
many.
it's being fried in olive oil or butter, it's not as much, it's not an issue.
Yeah.
It's amazing the difference when you actually go from, something or ghee, or there are healthy ways to do things and there's inflammatory ways to do the same things.
Right. Except the thing is with that is because that's a family thing. A lot of families just do the same thing that has ever happened in their families. And so,
No, that's not
and
true, David. Things have changed now to what they were 10, 20, 30 years
yeah,
ago. So
sure.
when we, we're about the same age, when we were kids, there was way less of all these horrible vegetable oils and toxins in food that there
Yeah,
are now.
that's right.
There are biscuits from 30 years ago that have totally, that they're the same biscuits, but they're totally different ingredients these days. And
Yes.
occasionally when I look at the ingredients, I'm like, holy crap, I had no idea. Like, I remember when some cakes swapped over in the supermarket from butter to margarine because I can't eat margarine. I hate the flavor of it. Hate it. And I can pick it a mile away.
Yeah, but the reason people use margarine is because it's easy to spread, actually. And the
You can
reason,
make your own from butter and olive oil.
hey, can I just like butt in for a sec on this one? That's right. Except, there's also because there's a part of this, like from a counselling point of view, if you don't get the underlying, it's very hard to fix what's on top, which will and what's on top will be diet. And so, the reason that I want to say this is because the things that are causing those desires for the comfort food, because we're talking about chronic stress, when you're chronically stressed, you'll desire more sugars and you'll desire more fried foods, chips, things that, if you've got heart problems, are high oxidization and things that put your sugar out. And on top of that, you've got the stress itself, which is putting toxins in the system. We haven't come to cortisol yet. And so you've got this toxic stuff in your system that you use these fast foods to temporarily regulate and then cause problems later. And even though even though we've worked this out, like you and I know, but the mainstream, because I spend a lot of time with normal people, and they're not really aware of all. They're just doing what everyone else, they eat McDonald's and, and I'm not criticizing one company, but
Oh, no. And I'm not criticizing
all of those
people with
corporate
the
fast
junk
food
food
places.
either. Yeah.
But because the other side is with it is that if it's not too excessive, going out and having fun and having some yummy things is really good if it's done, in moderation. But when it becomes your daily diet, except it's hard to tell. This is what I wanted to say. It's hard to tell which comes first, the horse or the cart with this. And so from a counselling perspective, we look at the underlying traumatic or neglect features first. And another issue is that with counselling, it's been in the ABC News, a lot of counsellors and psychologists haven't done family systems training. And the thing about family systems is when you look into somebody's family system, you'll be able to identify where the neglect is and where the trauma is if there's some, and then you can work with that to moderate the relationships, which is really hard and it takes a long time to work, and sometimes it doesn't work out, because
Oh, it's so tough.
what I sorry
It's
what I
tough.
have an, yeah, so what I have something with a lot of people that I know, because I do try not to talk about my clients too much, except there's the general thing when people are having, say, relationship problems, is people say just leave. Except a lot of people don't want to leave, they just really want to fix it. Right? But fixing takes time and it's hard work because usually there'll be one person who has more control than the other person. And it's very hard to flip that around once it's been going for 10, 20, 30 years. In some case, in people's whole lives, that they'll have a sibling or a parent, or when you're a kid. The other thing about leaving and cutting off is that in family therapy, cutting off is considered as bad as the chaos. And so, and everyone goes, why don't you leave? And it's like, well, people have got a lot of good reasons to stay, because they've got, if it's a couple, they've got their kids. If it's the kids, they've got no choice. They have to stay there. And so you have to work out how to try to regulate it or improve it in the situation that's existing. And people aren't that very well educated on nutrition or on, like, I think often people don't even realize what they're doing because
Yeah,
it's
can I
become
tell you a
so,
story about anxiety?
just one sentence more, because it's often come down generationally. So what they're doing is the same thing that's happened 4 generations back. And the diet's included, and the way of dealing in relationships is included. And it's been going, you could say in past lives, you look at, because
Generationally, yeah.
generationally, like you've brought that
And
up before.
genetically, up to 7 generations, we can have similar patterns.
Yeah, so that's an interesting way of looking at something like reincarnation, for example, that there are past lives generationally. And so people will be born in an environment where they'll have avoidant attachment, or they'll have anxious attachment, or they'll have both. And when those things are in play, it's very hard because they're not interdependent relationships. When somebody's controlling someone else, that's called fusion. Do you know what I mean? And it's triangulation. And then when people are cut off, that's a type of neglect. It's like, I won't talk to that person. And sometimes things are so bad that you can't talk to them. And so you might have to cut off for a while and see what they do, which is extreme, but it's very common these days. And I think, if people could get the right information on attachments, they could work that out in a better way. Good thing is we got AI and we can look it up now. And even normal people can. It's good. Yeah, so where were you?
Well, about the gut and how, if the gut's inflamed with the family, that's going to actually add to the whole family system's challenges. Because, if we are eating things like, say, refined carbs, sugars, processed foods, all of processed fats, rather than good fats, processed fats, all of those sort of things, they create the blood sugar spikes. And as soon as we get a blood sugar spike, we also raise our cortisol. And when we raise our cortisol, we're getting the whole adrenaline response. So therefore, we go into fight and flight from the food. And I had a client years ago who it would be 2 days after eating a wheaty, pastry sort of meal that she would end up with major anxiety because she just didn't eat it in her normal life because she knew that, gluten or wheat or something was not good for her. And it was only after it was several visits on a particular day of the week, and I went, oh, your last 4 visits were on this day of the week. And then we
Did
started really unraveling it and went, right, this is what's happening.
she have chronic stress in her life?
She wouldn't have thought so, but yes, she did. She was in a big family, and at least two of her family members had had cancer by that stage. And there was a
So,
lot. But
because
then
it.
people with that cortisol and adrenaline, then they feel shaky and anxious. And as soon as we're anxious, that changes the relationship with the people around us as well, because we're hypervigilant. So.
But yes, so it's a horse before the cart thing, and I've been thinking about this because some of the latest research is that the microbiome, like, for example, if you're stressed from when you're a little kid because you're not looked after when you're sick properly, or because your parents are too aggressive or something, that affects the microbiome first, right? So until the relationships are managed better, it will be hard with the external thing with diet. It can improve it, but still the stress will come back and force it into the situation where the microbiome's damaged again. Would that be right? Because I was reading about it the other day, and it's like, so if you're stressed, your body produces cortisol. Is that the main one?
Well, that is the main one, and it's the only hormone that gets higher as we get older.
Higher.
Yeah, because our body becomes more inflamed. So part of breaking down as we get older is because we get higher and higher of cortisol.
Oh, I've never heard that. So this is interesting. I've only ever heard negative things about cortisol. Oh, so it's got a positive use in your body.
Well, yeah, like even
Oh, what
fungus
does it
does.
do?
Fungus and candida, when they start building up in the body, they only attach to damaged tissues. So
Right.
our gut, if it's inflamed, that can allow fungus and candida
Yeah,
to grow.
yeah.
So imagine fungus in the rainforest. You
Hmm.
know, it's on the dead trees.
Yeah.
It's breaking it down. When we're getting
Right.
fungus and candida and mold in our body, it breaks down tissue that's already damaged,
Okay.
which is sort of not great. But yeah,
Right.
so with chronic stress as a kid, you know, these kids with the high ACE scores, it creates a lower diversity of
A
bugs in their
bio,
microbiome.
yeah, lower diversity of
And the
microbiome.
lower diversity creates more health issues.
Right, in the research, I haven't got the paper here. I'm trying to remember the guy who did it. I sent you a thing on him.
He's
Because he
probably
said.
from Tasmania. We've got an amazing dude in Tasmania who is front and foremost worldwide in
Oh, but
relation to
this guy was
microbiome.
a medical journalist, and so he was talking about how you increase your microbiome by increasing the number of things you're eating, and especially things that are, because apparently the microbiome's fueled, so you've got fiber, which comes from every type of growing thing, all the, you know, like in the Bible, God gave people all the green things first. And so all the green things will create diversity in the microbiome by increasing, and it may be a fact that increasing everything at all, like the amount of things you eat might do that too, but I'm not sure on that.
Yeah,
There was a discussion in the debate I was listening to, and it was about, you know, where does meat fall into it? And, you know, and he said, I'm not sure about that. I'll look that up later.
Well, again, meat is protective. So they did a study on the microbiome of some big burly footballers, I think it was here in Australia, who had great diets, you know, during the season, but then went off and, between seasons, they went off and were just big blokey boys, you know, doing all sorts of meat and beers and all sorts of stuff. And the exercise was incredibly protective for their microbiomes. So, because they spend a
The
lot of their
exercise.
life exercising and training, exercise is incredibly powerfully beneficial for our microbiome.
Because exercise produces endorphins, but what does exercise do to improve the
Well, it calms
microbiome?
cortisol. So, you actually
It calms
you burn
cortisol.
your cortisol when you're out exercising.
Right,
So, yeah.
because I used to run 3 times a week until I hurt my knee,
Yes.
and it staved off depression
Yeah, right.
completely. I never got it. And that's what's causing that.
Well, exercise is amazing because you
Right.
know how you always talk about when you start raising one feel-good hormone, you're raising the others.
Yep.
You know,
And
your GABA, your
endorphins.
yep. In the same way, when we start reducing one inflammatory hormone and it's in a good way, like exercise or good food, we're automatically going to start
Positive
reducing
stress.
all of them. Yeah.
Positive stress. You know, because it's interesting looking at with diet and positive stress, because the healthy things are actually harder to eat.
They make you
Right?
chew more, is that what you mean?
No, think about it, because I've known a few kids with Asperger's over the years, and also some autism, and they had really restricted diets. They couldn't eat many things. Right, and the things that they like, I had one flatmate years ago, and her little brother, you know, he was developing an overbite because he'd only eat pizza and white bread or something, and he wouldn't eat anything else. And he was probably about 13 then, but because of his diet, his teeth were affected, and because he'd only eat soft things, and so the things that are more healthy. Like really, the things that are really healthy, things like sprouts, for example. I mean, it's hard to get anything that's so fresh as sprouts. They're actually chewy and hard to eat, and it's hard to get the kids to eat them. Right? And so if you think about the things that are really nice fiber, they're
Especially
often.
when you've allowed a child to eat nothing but pizza their whole life.
I know,
Of
I
course,
know.
they're only going to eat pizza
Yeah, I
if
know
you
that.
allow them to do that.
I know that, except most people eat McDonald's regularly, right? In the mainstream, like they'll have McDonald's a couple of times a week. Do you know what I mean? Or Sizzler or things that, and I'm not saying, I'm not criticizing the corporations because they're doing a, they make it cheap. Do you know what I mean? And so you've got these things that are, you know, they're really easy to eat. And if you look at the foods that cause problems, they're really easy to eat. And the
Yeah.
things that are healthier, they're actually harder to eat and they're also harder to prepare.
Yeah.
But the other thing is they're harder to find. Right? Like, think about it. Like, no.
I don't know if any of that's true, David. We've been buying healthy food for 30 years. It's not that hard. It's not
No,
hard to
but
put together a salad. It's not
I
hard to
do,
put
but I do
together
that
dinner.
too, right? Except I know the people, like for example, in our own families and my wife's family, they don't eat like we do. They
Yeah.
eat the way that everyone else does, and it's really, I wouldn't even eat most of it,
Yeah.
right? Because, you know, I get organic where I can, and, you know, we're very conscious about having vegetables a lot, and
Yes.
we're vegetarian, so we.
Yeah.
It's hard to miss out on that. But where the temptations are, it's a temptation to just go get takeaway and have pizza or get something from, you know, because it's easy to make and it's easy to eat. Do you see what
Yes.
I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so, no, you wait
But
till
back to
you,
that microbiodiversity.
I've got one more sentence. You have to wait till what I'm going to say. So, you know how positive stress is good?
Yeah.
Eating harder foods is a type of positive stress. Right, so going out of your way to go to the shop that's got the really nice olive oil that's come from one estate and it's in a dark bottle and you
Yep.
know where its source is and it's peppery, that's not easy to find in the supermarket. Like, because I live in West End, you go down to the Greek deli, that's where you find that.
Yeah.
Right, and so it's like it is the thing is the positive stress of finding that, the positive stress of sifting through all the things in the supermarket and finding the whole meal pasta
Yep.
that's organic. These things are not always in because they don't sell as often, so they're up there somewhere.
Yep.
And it's even hard to find them sometimes. And
Well,
like, you
no one
know,
wants us to be healthy. That is
no,
not the
but
aim of
then there's
people on the
another thing too.
planet.
If you were going to have organic vegetables, they're also double the price. Right? So what you've got there is to achieve that. You're doing another thing that is a positive stress. It costs more money. Like looking at the idea of positive stress, like for example, positive stress is you have a cold shower,
Yeah.
right? May it's not as comfortable as a hot shower. You see where I'm going with this?
Yeah.
But the positive stress of doing it will make your dopamine raise for like 6 hours,
Yeah.
right? And so all I'm trying to say is that a lot of the things that are healthy, like, because if I work out a holistic treatment plan for somebody, which you can ask AI these days, what's a holistic treatment plan for ADHD? You just get this list of activities that are like, but a lot of them are actually harder than doing the other thing. Do you see where I'm coming from with
Yeah.
that?
Yep.
And so people are tired, and so making an extra effort, do you know what I mean? It's like you need a really holistic re-education of your whole brain to do it.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
Well, I just disagree that it's hard for people. People just have to do what they want to do, and it's almost child abuse to be feeding them something that's making them worse.
But well, okay, but I'll give you another example. And I'm not being disagreeable. I've got a really nice thing here. So we know that like you prescribe people different types of supplements and herbs, and we know that a lot of people don't take them. Some people, right? Because taking the herbs is another positive stress. Because what's my old friend, he's passed away recently, but he was a herbalist for his adult life, and
Yep.
he'd say to me, David, the taste is the cure, right? Because herbs are like bitter, and often you take really bitter things, but
Yeah.
that's what the cure is. So taking something like Schisandra, for example,
Yeah, which is very bitter because it's a liver herb.
right, it's bitter, but so often you'll prescribe that to people and you've got to put some licorice in it just so that they'll be able to get it down.
Yeah, I have
Right?
a couple of people who love the bitter. The bit most more bitter the better.
Well, if you can read, but can you see how that's a positive stress? Can you see what I'm saying? That a lot of the.
Of course, I see it.
Oh, good.
Absolutely. There's
Oh,
these
cool.
things, yeah, there's these things called heat shock proteins. So anything that activates heat shock proteins, and it's because we do something like a cold shower, or I have a little bit of alcohol or vinegar or something, it causes these heat shock proteins to release a whole bunch of healing mechanisms.
They're
So yeah,
good things.
there's an absolutely good thing.
Oh, a little bit of alcohol can do that as well.
Anyone who says alcohol is bad, bad, bad just hasn't paid attention to the research. You know, there's a hell of a lot of good things about a little bit of alcohol regularly. And I will
Oh,
quote
well, I
that
don't
till the
drink a lot, but
day I die.
yeah, no, well, there was
Because it's
even
just not
some.
true. You know, it's just not true. We don't live in a vacuum. So anyone who goes around saying, you know, alcohol causes breast cancer, but they don't look at other environmental factors A to Z, that it's not real. It's not real.
Well, with heart health, there was a controversial thing that came out about alcohol, like red wine particularly is good for it if you have a little bit. But then you read the opposing articles, and they look at the people who did it, and then they go, well, maybe it's not. Do you know what I mean? And because with anything, there'll be studies and counter studies, because the scientific method is about first you want to disprove something. You try to disprove it first, and then if it
Oh,
passed
well,
all
if
those
only the
tests.
scientific method was regularly used these days, but we won't go
Hey,
into that. But yeah,
that's
so
another
yeah, but the
conversation.
positive
No,
stress,
but if
you
it's
know.
being done well, it's like that. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes people are doing it well, because you cite articles where they're doing it well.
Anyway, so
Yeah,
yeah.
no, that's interesting. I think, yeah, okay.
So yeah, when the sort of positive stress, you know, like you said about cold showers and things, you know, even things like public speaking, making yourself get out there, it helps to regrow new neuronal
Right.
brain pathways.
Okay,
Starting
that's
a new
interesting.
project, starting a new job, it all recreates new neuronal brain pathways. Exercise, of course,
Okay, so
creative
the
challenges.
harder things are new. That's an interesting thing. They're fresh and new.
Because, like, actually,
I'm just looking for the positive in the positive, because they
I'm going
cause
to
a
mention it.
positive stress. I'm like, okay, this must be positive. Let's find that.
I've got a cousin who's been in the same industry for 40 years, and he's world renowned at being one of the best.
Right.
He goes to these seminars regularly where they're trying to problem solve the world's water crisis problems.
Oh, yeah.
He gets migraines at those seminars. He doesn't ever get migraines any other time, which is really interesting because he's been doing this stuff for 40 years
And
and
he knows the territory.
he knows the territory exceptionally well, but in that particular space, it's almost like it's too much for his brain. So his brain gets inflamed with the stress of a new program. But, you know, I don't know whether you know this about people who get migraines, but sometimes they say that after a migraine, and I've heard people with epilepsy say the same thing, it's almost like the whole brain clears.
Clears.
Yeah, they feel better after a migraine or after a seizure.
Oh, I thought a migraine can be like a healing crisis.
One of my ladies who had migraines, she used to get migraines about every 3 weeks for years. And when we had her on, funnily enough, you'll know these two products. We had her on Getox Express from Metagenics and Thermophase Detox. Between the two of those, you cleanse out the gut, the kidneys, the liver, the lymphatics, and they're anti-inflammatory. If she
Oh,
was on
okay.
both of those two products, she never got a migraine. But they're bloody
Right.
expensive, and to be on them long term was just sort of unrealistic,
Unmanageable.
unmanageable. So then we found out that for her, it was actually electromagnetic frequencies that were building up in her body. And of course, 3 weeks doesn't make sense with a woman's menstrual cycle or anything like that. So she was working in a barber shop where it was long and skinny, and there were, like, you know, five or six barber chairs, but then they had the electricals for the entire strip of shops in the back of her shop. So then she
Oh.
started wearing wearables to protect her. She would come to work with a little plug-in, and she would plug in a thing into the wall. And when she did that, she didn't get migraines with that work anymore. So it was because
What
the
was it she did?
electromagnetic frequencies, the dirty electricity, was actually building up in her body, and every 3 weeks it'd need a big clean out.
Was that like Wi-Fi, or was it all the things they used?
Oh, it wasn't Wi-Fi because in those days Wi-Fi wasn't such a thing. I'm talking about 12, 13, 14 years ago when I first started finding out about electromagnetic radiation and how damaging
And
it could be on the
what
body.
was she being detoxed, and what was actually causing it?
The
Like
dirty
what?
electricity from the power in the back of the shop. All
Oh.
the electrical power boards were in the back of the shop for the entire strip of shops.
Right. I don't know much about that.
Yeah, so you take in your little meter in there and see how much dirty electricity in there. It just goes up to thousands by the time you get to the back of the shop. I've got one of those
Okay.
little devices. We'll have to have a play with it.
Right, here's another question I've got for you, which related to positive stress again. Seeing we're doing about stress, so I'm always trying to find a place to put detox, right? And so detox obviously can happen through diet. Do you know what I mean? Because there's a lot of you increase fiber, you're going to start de and there's a bunch of things you can do. Like if you take charcoal, you'll detox in another way. Or then you've got some different products like zeolites for detox. And so people are often, it's a step that people might want to leave out, including myself. But when I think about it in the context of this conversation, detox is a positive stress.
Yeah, and you got to do it.
No, but isn't that, no, but I'm just trying to tie it in with the positive stress because
Absolutely.
I found it very hard to get an argument for that, right?
Right.
But when you see it as a positive stress, right, and it's a positive stress that acts immediately on your whole digestive system, and
Depending on what
that's,
you take,
well, of course,
because
but
all
there's,
detox mechanisms work differently.
that's right, and well, the whole body is detoxed, like you've got your skin that detoxes in one way. And then your liver's a detox, kidneys are detox, like all the spleens, they're all deep, they're all kind of detox things, aren't they? So when we're doing the positive stress of detoxing, what we're doing is doing something that is hard so that those things function better. Would that be about right?
I don't know why it's hard. It's not that hard to detox.
Okay, yeah. So
It gets the
I
lymph moving, it
yeah.
gets the
No,
circulation moving, it
I
in
know that, except like you say sometimes, like for example, I bought somebody a detox kit for Christmas,
Yes.
right? But they didn't take it, right? They're taking it now, but months later, because there's a resistance, right? And so what I'm saying is that what I do know is that with because I was talking to a doctor about it. The way to get people to take their medicine, like you've got to work out this other type of strategy to be able to get them to consent to doing it and going through the hard thing of eating something that, because often when you're detoxing, you might feel uncomfortable at the time, huh?
It
Right.
can because it depends on what you're detoxing
That's
again.
right. That's
So if
right.
you're taking something like zeolite, for example, and if you've got a good nano-sized zeolite like the Masterpiece, it means it's tiny molecules and it can cross every membrane of your body.
Yeah.
Every membrane through every
Blood
cell
barrier and
wall.
all.
So basically, if you take something like that, like I remember when I first started taking zeolite about 25 years ago, it was another brand at the time, and
Wyora.
I would get particular
Wyora.
pains in my Wyora, and I would get particular pains in my bone. So, like for example, my jaw, and I've got a lot of mercury fillings in my teeth. I think most of them are gone now, but at one stage, I sort of felt like Woody Woodpecker was in the side of my jaw, and
Right,
then
right.
another day, I would feel like the base of the skull. With someone in there, with a little jackhammer. Or another day, I would just feel like someone was squeezing my knees, because I had sort of a low-level fibromyalgia in my late teens, early 20s. And if I ever woke up without pain, I was always wondering what I'd magically done the day before. And because my clients were so used to me bitching about everything,
Right.
I'd have once I started taking zeolite, and I think I started on the detox dose of 10 drops 3 times a day, and I did that for maybe 2 years actually. But after a few weeks, I remember someone saying, "Oh, how's your tennis elbow?" And I went, "Oh, I haven't had that for a while." And someone else would say, "Oh, how's your blah blah blah?" And I go, "Oh, I haven't had that for a while." And it was only because, and this is the thing about natural therapies, people often don't notice what they don't have anymore when it's gone.
Yeah,
So
because
unless
that's
someone
because
says,
once
"Oh, I
again,
used to,"
Madonna,
pardon?
that's because there's an emission going on.
Yeah,
And all emissions are hard to detect.
I had a funny doctor in here once, going back about 20 years ago, and I can't remember what he came to see me for, but I know I was doing NOT, so I was doing some structural balancing on him. Luckily, I took really notes before in those days, I took really good notes. So I had all his little symptoms and what out of 10 each of them were. And then the next day he came back for a second appointment. He said, nothing's improved. And I went, oh, okay, let's have a look. So I went to my list and I said, well, how's your sleep? And he said, oh, yeah, my sleep's good. And I said, well, you were waking up 3 or 4 times a night. And he said, oh, yeah, I haven't done that. And I just went through his list. 80% of stuff had improved. And I said to him, so what hasn't improved, since obviously there has been some improvement? And he had like one or two things that he felt like hadn't improved. It's very funny. People are funny. And I don't blame people for that, because I totally get it. When something isn't there, we don't think about it, which is really cool.
Yeah, because I remember taking the zeolite Wyora because I had some chemical poisoning
That
when I
one
was
no
there.
longer exists anymore, guys. So, these
But when
days,
I
I
was
think it's
in,
a
I was
masterpiece.
working in Indian importers, and I got methyl bromide poisoning and chronic fatigue, and I took those. And back then, you had something called DMT,
Oh, yep, dimethyl.
and when you drink that, it was like it'd make this funny thing,
DMG.
DMG. That was
Yeah.
it. But anyway, when you drank it, it was like for a minute.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was such a weird thing, but actually, it got me out of my chronic fatigue, which wasn't recognized by the medical association until
It's probably why you
2011.
love your beans so much,
It
because
wasn't recognized.
DMG is actually in beans and
Oh,
seeds and
okay.
things like that, which you actually love.
Right. Well, this was a concentrated liquid,
Yeah, of course.
but the medical association didn't recognize chronic fatigue till 2011. Right, and then they recognized it as an autoimmune thing, even though the naturopath had been dealing with it for many years.
Decades. One of the guys I heard speak at a Metagenics seminar one year, I can't remember his name, but he was this Belgian psychiatrist, and he'd been dealing with chronic fatigue since 1978. And I loved him because he was short and little, and he sort of reminded me of Bjorn from ABBA. And he had this lilt in his voice as he was telling this story about all these clients. So what they would do with all these people with chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia, undiagnosed, was they would do all the bloods and everything, and they couldn't find anything wrong, so they'd send him to Bjorn. And basically, they ended up, he started doing his own blood tests. He thought, well, there's got to be something going on in here. So for a few years, he would run the same blood tests, and he started plotting them. And what he found was that across the board with chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia, yes, people were within the range, but they were the bottom end of the range. So their nutritional needs were higher than the average person, because their body was going through some structural or physical or emotional or traumatic pain and mitochondrial
So
exhaustion.
they were within the bell curve, but in the last
Yes.
15% or
They
so.
were just bottom end. So he just showed, these decades worth of data that he'd put together. And he was a psychiatrist. He didn't know what to do with blood work. I suppose they're all trained as doctors and they specialize in psych. But, he just knew that there was something going on, and he knew that it wasn't something that medically they were actually getting to the bottom with. And he also knew that these people weren't crazy. So, because in those days they would have just been put on drugs. That was the only solution.
And back then, the drugs, like the antidepressants and stuff, were like tricyclic things that were people would suicide on them. But now they've see what they've done with the drugs is that because I studied suicide prevention,
Yep.
and so the drugs that were really effective back they've taken off the market now
Yep.
because you could actually if you took enough, you'd suicide. But the new ones, which are also controversial, the SSRIs and the, yeah, it's hardest to harm yourself with them. And so they
Well,
got rid of the
maybe.
ones where you could. I'm just saying that
Yeah.
that's how the evolution happened
Yeah.
because it had to do with reducing self-harm.
Just one of my clients in the last couple of days has talked again. I can't remember which one she's on, but every time she adjusts it, even the tiniest amount, she gets all the brain zaps, and so it's such a. So I'm slowly increasing
Who's
it.
that guy online who deals with that? Dr. Joseph.
Right.
Josef. on YouTube, and he's got a detoxing channel. He's a psychiatrist who worked at the American FDA, and now he helps people come off their psychs if they need to, and teaches tapering because sometimes you have to taper very, very slowly.
Yeah.
There's some sad stories out there, and because
Oh, I've
people.
got one of my clients who used to open his little capsules and, all the little tiny dots inside the capsules with some of the meds. And he would take out a couple of the dots, put the capsule back together, have it. And it took him about a year to get off that particular drug.
So this is one of the things where I stand up for counseling over physical interventions, like especially with meds, but maybe with
Pharmaceuticals.
herbs too sometimes. And I'm not being critical of anyone or anything, because as a holistic person, I accept everybody's way of managing their symptoms. But the thing is that with the my understanding was always that a dose of something was temporary to readjust, right? So even herbs, like you don't want, like you were saying before, you just don't want to keep people on expensive herbs forever. If it doesn't do the job, you should try something else. But what we're seeing in society is that people are going on different things and staying on them for years, which means that it hasn't solved the problem. And this is where counseling, because counseling generally, even not the best therapists, they'll get a 70% improvement rate, which is often better than most of the drugs. Because if you can deal with the underlying stress condition, there might not be a need for them in the first place. But so you end up with people, they're feeling depressed, so they'll go to the doctor and they'll get, straight off the board, it'll probably be a sleeping tablet, then maybe an antidepressant or an anti-anxiety, which are all similar variations. Do you know what I mean? Because then they've got the benzo group. We won't go into that. But the thing is that I always thought they were temporary to readjust. But if they don't do the readjust, you don't want to stay them on, because if you stay them on for years, because people often stay on for 20 years and then they're stuck in
They're on
there.
for the rest of their life most of the time.
Often, are they?
Doctors do not try to take people off them ever.
Hmm.
I've never known a client in 30 years whose doctor has offered to start weaning them off
Hmm.
a SSRI or a, not
Well,
once.
it's a funny thing, like learning, because I did a lot of I did a subject on what do they call them? Hyper substances, psychoactive
Oh,
substances.
yep.
And so one of the reasons the cannabis program came about is it's an off-ramp for all types of things, because in when people go out and take the party drugs, they use that to come off it, so they don't have. And so it's like
And actually, I'm thinking that the tri-GLP is
but
going
it's
to be
also
an
addictive, you know.
off-ramp as well, because it just calms that noise in the brain really quite amazingly for people who aren't vegetarian and vegans, really quite
Oh,
incredibly.
it's not vegetarian.
No, it's uses salmon to get the nature identical GLP-1, GLP-2, and GIP. But it's
But those GLPs are available in different vegetable sources, though, aren't they? They're naturally occurring.
yes.
I think we looked it up.
No. Things can stimulate it, but you still have to have the receptors available to be stimulated. So if you are, and this is the problem, a lot of people are insulin resistant, which causes diabetes long term. They can be incretin resistant, which means you can be, because lots of things can actually increase GLP-1 and GIP particularly. So lots of things like fibers and good fats, and Korean ginseng's one that does it. Lots of natural things increase them, but if you are incretin resistant, it doesn't kick in. So, and the, so therefore, that is why people are getting such good results.
But you would you say, but if you address that over time, you could improve it.
Well,
Because
maybe. This is the problem with a lot of medications in the pharmaceutical industry. They can destroy enzyme pathways. They can destroy receptors in the body. So if this has been destroyed, you need another mechanism of action. I've got people who do everything right and their weight doesn't shift. I've got people who do everything right and those cravings don't go away.
Well,
So
it's
this
like
is life-changing for
most
people.
middle-aged people,
So the tri-GLP is life-changing for people. Like I have never had it, I've taken a crap load of supplements in my life. Oh no, probably $50,000 worth of stuff at least. At least. God, it's probably anyway, who cares? But it's been, I have tried everything when it comes to, hunger and weight and all sorts of things. This is the only thing I've ever taken that I've felt 100% in my body.
Okay.
It's the only thing. And I've taken everything.
So that other little sachet one wasn't as good.
Do you mean the OEA?
No, what was the little sachet you were saying? You know,
Oh,
the
the
little.
fix? No.
Yeah.
So what the fix did actually, with the PHIX, the bitter extract. So what they are is bitter extracts from, oh, what was the herb? Hops bitter extracts.
Hops.
So what that does is stimulates the bitter receptors in the gut. So that's
Oh.
very different from the GLP-1, GLP-2, and GIP.
Oh, it's more
So
like
they're
beer.
two
It's more like
di
drinking beer, right?
they're, yeah, they're two different gut systems. Now, when I was taking Fix, I also managed to maintain my weight, but it didn't shift my weight down. And it
Okay.
didn't do anything for cravings. It didn't do anything for alcohol or food noise. And it didn't do anything for pain. So, whereas the Tri-GLP is definitely shifting all of those with me.
Did you feel any improvement in your mood with that fix?
Well, I don't think
It's meant
so,
to,
because
it's
I
meant
know a lot
to.
of people felt the like I was chatting to a friend the other day, and she will never go off the fix because she loves it so much. So she and I'll put the links for both of them
Because
below.
I tried it and I didn't feel any sort of
You,
anything much.
every time you did it, you would come in and say you lost weight.
Oh, did
So
I?
you say you didn't get any results, but a few times when you did do it, you actually came in and you said you'd lost weight.
Oh.
So it did shift it with you.
I stopped drinking milk.
Well, I don't
I
care, but I
started
know
to.
with the fix, I'm fully aware
I
that
drink
it
like
did.
two liters of milk a day, and I know it's my. But I didn't drink milk yesterday because I had reflux, and I go, all right, I'll cut out milk for a while.
Yeah, it's a lot of calories.
Yeah, I do.
That's an
I had.
extra 2,000 calories your body
Okay, so
doesn't need.
let's on this
Let's
point.
wrap up.
Yeah, we'll wrap up. But so, I kind of get a feeling that positive stress. All types of healing things will have some positive stress in that it's stressful, right? And the things that cause the problems are the opposite of stress, which is comfort, right? So, get it. So that's what I mean, that it takes effort to make improvement. And sometimes people are really tired, you know? And so, but if you, I'm just trying to think, if you look at it in terms of positive stress, I think it's like a way to get in. Do you know what I mean? A way to explain it to people. Look, it's positive stress, it's temporary. And then after that, there'll be less overall chronic stress. Because just finishing up, right, chronic stress has said to, in all the research, and this is across the board, any type of chronic disease that'll make it worse. So it'll make heart problems worse, it'll make blood sugar worse, it'll make cancer worse. Is there anything else that makes worse?
Oh, it makes
Like
everything worse. You're
nearly
absolutely right,
everything that
because it
you deal
shuts
with that
down so
makes
many
worse.
body systems. So
Right.
stress shuts down, it slows down your thyroid, it slows down detox, so your liver doesn't work as well. It slows down digestion, so you're not going to getting the nutrient absorption out of foods. It causes both incretin resistance, which is the GLP-1, GLP-2, and GIP, as well as insulin resistance. So stress is pro-diabetic, it's pro-cancer, it's pro-obesity,
So
it's
what do you think
pro-pain.
your top three positive stress things to do are for just about any person? To help with this.
So the things I tell people to do every day, are you talking supplements or physical things?
Either like the three
So I
best
tell
things,
people
like
to
for
get out in the
example,
sunshine every day because so many
and
people never see the sunshine. So many people. They go
so
from their house to
sunshine.
their car to work to their car to our house
Right,
again. They
right.
never see the sunshine.
And so that means that they don't exercise either, probably, as
Yeah,
much, or.
probably not. Or they're getting into their Lycra and they're going to the gym. No, but most people hate exercise. So, even if it's just walking around the
A lot of
block, and
people.
people who are in pain don't want to do it either,
You
so
know,
they're really
exercise is
struggling.
really becoming a lot more popular than it used to be.
Yeah. And grounding, so grounding's really important, getting on the grass,
Grounding.
getting out in nature, all of that sort
Okay,
of
so
thing.
one's nature and exercise. What's the
Yeah.
second one? I know you love detox.
Well, so sunshine, nature, exercise, you put that all together. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that from the supplement perspective, the ASEA, the redox signaling molecules, because that is about signaling everything in the body. So when
But
that's
overall,
signaling,
all types of detox would be your second one.
Yeah.
rather than a product.
I
They
love
should.
detox. I'm a detox
So we
girl.
got exercise, detox, and then what's the third positive stress?
Renew and regenerate.
And what's that
What do you,
mean?
yeah, so what do you need to rebuild whatever is breaking down in your body? And that
Which might
depends
be
on the
improving your
person.
diet or.
Well, they've got to take out the refined crap, you know, and people
Yeah, no,
sort
I'm
of
talking
don't
about the positive.
notice.
I'm talking about the positive stress and what you. So it's pretty easy to say that going out in the sun, like a bush walk, would cover all those things, right?
Yep.
And that's a positive stress.
Yep.
And then detox, we're taking supplements or harder things in our diet that'll have more fiber in them,
Yep.
right? To detox. And
Yep.
then what's your third one?
Well, I maybe fun and laughter, you know, making
Fun and
sure you're getting
laughter.
some fun and laughter in your life.
Okay. Okay,
You know,
so
I said to someone yesterday, I don't, you know, because Jay and I were joking the other day because we've started watching that little show, The Madison, which is written
righto.
by Taylor Sheridan, and it's got Michelle Pfeiffer and someone else in it, the guy from Big Trouble in Little China. Anyway, and
Yeah.
it's really, really lovely. And what's my point with this show? What did you ask me?
Oh, what's the third positive stress?
Oh,
Is
yeah.
laughing positive stress or is that just fun?
Yeah, so they had a really beautiful relationship, her and this guy from Big Trouble in Kurt Russell. Anyway, and you just see them in all, because there's all sorts of flashbacks because he dies. Anyway, so they sort of have all these really lovely memories that they're doing again. And I stopped the video and I said to Jay, I don't know how I will ever train anyone well enough if you die so that we can get along well, because, you know, we've got 36 years of history. We laugh at the same stuff. We have fun with the same stuff.
You
We like
laugh
doing
at the
the
same
same
cheesy
stuff.
stuff.
We do love the same cheesy stuff.
Right. So laughing is a positive stress because I'm interested in that because if that's a positive stress, because why would that be? I think people are too serious.
Oh, people are way too serious.
And they take comfort in that.
Yeah.
Whereas laughing actually takes a bit of energy because you've got to use all the
You
muscles in your
do?
face.
Yep.
And
Yep.
you know, there's laughing therapy.
There is. I've
And
been
it
to a
has,
laughter class.
right, and they have really good outcomes.
Yeah. And,
Okay, so
you know,
lightening up
because
is.
laughing briefly raises that blood pressure again, you know, but it comes
Right.
down quite quickly. It,
Right, okay.
decreases, you know, then it creates relaxation afterwards. But you know,
Okay.
there's nothing better than a good belly laugh when you shouldn't be belly laughing, you know,
Right.
like, you know, in church or in a meeting or somewhere where it's totally inappropriate at a funeral.
Right.
Yeah. Maybe that's just my family. But you know,
Well, no,
laughter.
but laughter's interesting to look at as a positive stress.
Yeah, because it's sort of good for the heart, the lungs,
Stressor.
the muscles. It increases endorphins, you know. It's sort of, and the more you laughter, again, you're creating new neuronal brain pathways. So if you've got stress going on and you actually, you're one of these people who can laugh quite easily, you're not going to go into survival as
And it
easily.
takes effort because you've got to find people who can laugh at your jokes or something that you can
It
laugh.
does
It
take
takes
effort. That's
you
why I
have to
have to
like
keep.
you have to sift through a lot of things to get something new that's still
Yeah,
funny. Like
that's why
old jokes aren't funny. You have to
I.
work to find new comedy.
Yeah, well, our old jokes are funny.
Well,
Yeah. So, and laughter decreases cortisol.
it? That's interesting.
Yeah. So, you know, it's sort of funny because for, you know, however long we have been doing it, we always watch a comedy in the morning before work. So we
Really?
get up. So I've always got up early when Jason went to work, and we always watch something, whether it's, you know, we go through phases of The Nanny or Seinfeld or Frasier, or at the moment we're doing Golden Girls. So we always sit down with a coffee and a comedy in the first thing in the morning.
Right.
It's a pretty nice little habit.
Yeah.
And then soon after that, I try to get up and I go for a walk, and, you know, and then I start my day.
Yeah, right. So you've got a regular laughing, like a regular practice.
Yeah,
That's
watching the two
perfect.
Ronnies at the moment.
Oh, well, goodbye from me and goodbye from him.
That's totally inappropriate these days, but lots of fun being so inappropriate.
Right. Well, we've still got the Summer Heights video here, but you
Yeah,
know,
right,
we'll
that's
have.
very inappropriate.
But we've got the video. The thing is, you could buy the video, the DVD.
Yeah,
But I haven't watched that for a while.
they're very good. They're very good. So yeah, I think
Nice.
yeah, so that's good.
So then let's go just quickly to finish. So Chronic stress. What's the opposite of chronic stress, do you think?
Relaxation and peace.
But they're not. But they're not stresses.
No,
Oh,
it wasn't
okay.
after you didn't ask about a stress. You just said, what's the opposite?
Yeah, okay. So by doing the positive stresses, you end up with more of that.
Yeah.
Relaxation and peace.
Because part of, the way I think of it in kinesiology terminology is how soon after a stress can you come back to normal? So some people might get sulky and they don't talk for 2 or 3 or 4 days. Other people might be in a bad mood for 15 minutes. So it, other people it might be a month. I remember I'll tell you about another little story. This is a 6-year-old kid, and the mother was a bit of a piece of work, just by the way. And she just
You're not
was
allowed to use
going
that phrase anymore.
a piece
Maybe
of
only
work.
boys aren't allowed to use it. Piece of work.
That a girl's a piece, really? She was a piece of work. And so anyway, she saw, I can't remember what was wrong with him, but he was over.
Won't mansplain.
No. So he was over at a private boys' school, and he would lose his lolly, and then she would just have a hard time with him for days. And the more we did kinesiology, retraining the brain and regrowing those little neuronal brain pathways. I've got no idea whether I had him on supplements or not. It's been a long time. But I remember one day she was yelling at him because he, this is the sort of thing where she was a piece of work. She insisted that all of her kids use the squeegee in the shower before they hopped out of the shower, every shower. And he was 8.
Well,
Anyway,
that may be, you could call that, but it sounds a little bit OCD.
that's what I mean. She was a piece of work. So
Well, that's
anyway,
actually a medical condition.
one day after, she screamed at him for not doing it, it only took him like 20 minutes or something before he apologized and made good with his mum.
All
And
right.
then at the next appointment, she said, "It was only 20 minutes. I couldn't believe it." And my brain's going, "Why do you make him do the squeegee every time?" But anyway, that's just me.
Right, because in counseling psychology, Dan Siegel worked out that if you can slow your breathing down when you're triggered, it lets the nerve energy go all the way up to the top mid prefrontal cortex and down to the frontal cortex.
Yeah.
Like slowing down breathing is a big thing.
Yeah.
And isn't it interesting, slowing down sometimes is a positive stressor because it's so comfortable to breathe shallow and fast, like you
Yeah,
have your
right.
whole life. And by so anything where you can reprogram like that with yoga, because breath work's a part of yoga,
Yeah.
you're actually manually taking control of your body.
Yeah.
Like, because we breathe at a rate that we've really learned our whole lives. And in Buddhism, they call slowing down your breath, they say you get to the perfect speed,
Yeah.
which I always liked. And it's like, so when you slow down your breathing, you're manually changing your breath, and that affects your whole system.
Yeah.
Just like if you're doing any type of yoga, you're manually doing something that you don't normally do.
Yeah.
And that reshifts away from the comfort, like slouching's comfort, right?
Yeah.
Whereas standing up straight and getting your spine in order is a positive stressor.
Yeah, my Cairo always look. I can always look at him looking how I'm standing, and
Right.
I'm like, and then I deliberately stand on one foot just to piss him off,
Yeah, they do
rather
that to
than,
me, and I go, "Well, I've got a knee injury. I can't stand on this one, and
yeah,
I've got curvature of the spine. It's the
yeah.
best I can do."
You
Oh,
need to hop on that mat more regularly for your shin.
I'm going to get into the mat. I just see how beautiful they feel after it. The
Yeah.
mat's an incredible tool.
It is.
That's not even a. No, I suppose that's a positive stressor. Those sound, yeah, shh.
Yeah,
That's
beautiful.
positive stressor too, isn't it?
Yeah. So, closing up.
Beautiful.
Yeah, good
That was
one.
a really that's a really nice thing today. Well
Yeah.
done.
So biochemical stress happens, in the body, and it can cause just about any disease. But the good thing is everything is repairable. Everything's repairable.
So yeah,
So
because one thing as counselors we sort of say is that if you've had a stressful thing happen and you get really good treatment in
yep.
counseling, you'll end up better than you would have been if the bad thing hadn't have happened at all.
Yeah. And actually, can I tell? Sorry, I'll finish with one funny
You're
story.
right.
I had this guy who was really old at the time. I think he was 48 or 49. That's how long ago it is for me.
All right.
And
He was an
he
old
had a
guy.
shoulder operation. And so he'd had this shoulder problem for a long time, and he'd been seeing Linda and I, and he always improved, but it always came back. And they did an X-ray, and they found all these gnarly little calcifications in there. So we went in to have like a really basic scraping off the bone. He
Ooh.
had a heart attack and died on the table.
Oh,
So they
no.
ka-chinked him back. He had another heart attack,
Oh, no.
and
From
he
the
had a
pain and
stroke. And he had a stroke.
oh.
And that he ended up with a blood clot the size of a golf ball in his brain.
Okay.
So, luckily, two of his friends, so he did survive, and they put him into an induced coma and then just stuck him on a bunch of blood thinners and things. In 3 months, there was no change in the size of the blood clot in the brain.
He was in an induced coma for 3 months.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
I didn't
And
even know that was possible.
yep, that, yeah, that, yeah, it's a thing.
Oh.
Well,
It's
yeah,
an
anyway.
intervention.
It's an intervention. So anyway, it did not change the size of the blood clot in the brain. And when he woke up, they said, "Well, sorry, you're going to be a quadriplegic. You'll never feed yourself. You'll never work. You'll never run anything for the rest of your life." So luckily, we had some common sense and don't tell people that sort of thing. So he had some clients, clients of ours who were friends of his. And of course, in hospitals, they allow you to drink as much orange juice as you like, even though, it's sugar and it can be poison for some people, but whatever. So
Yeah, it's
his friends
funny.
would, because there's so much sugar in it. So,
No, it's just funny we talked about bad foods. And when you go to hospital, that's exactly what's on the menu. All the
exactly.
comfort stuff.
Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is trying to change that. But anyway,
Oh.
so the clients would actually open up about six Stemenhance hands from Cerule into the thing. They would put some magnesium in there. They
Right.
would open up the coenzyme Q10 and they'd put it in there. I think those were the three main things he was doing, like cardio X, Cerule Stemenhance, and coenzyme
Could he
Q10.
talk? He was in the coma. He couldn't talk yet.
No. This was when he got out of the coma and he was
Oh,
told
okay,
he'd never
yeah.
be able to eat or walk or run or work again. And so they would come up with their straw, and the nurses would just wander by and, saw that he was having orange juice and didn't think anything of it. And bit by bit, he started to improve.
Right.
So by the time he walked into our clinic 3 months later, he was obviously still very, very damaged, but he walked into the clinic. And he would sit down and he would feel this big because the neurologist, every time he made a single increment of improvement, they would say, "Well, that's really wonderful, but that's the best you'll ever do." And then he'd keep on taking the Stemenhance and stuff, and then he'd get better. And, okay, well, that's really great, but that's the best you'll ever do. So it took 9 months, but we shrunk that blood clot in the brain until it was only the size of a couple of grains of sand. And at that point, the neurologist surgeon said, "We'd better take it out now before we can't find it." Anyway, but one day he said to me, he was back running again. He got his job back, which was with the Fire Brigade here in Queensland. And he got back top of his game again. And
Oh.
he lost heaps of weight and he looked amazing and he was strong and he was fit and he was healthy. And one day he said to me, "Will my eyesight ever improve so I don't need glasses?" And I said to him, "Weren't you wearing glasses before the stroke?" And he said, "Yeah." And I said, "Well, what do you expect from this stuff?" Anyway, just a funny way to finish. The body can heal.
A happy story.
A happy story. Fun. Excellent. Okay, have a great day, David. I've got to go pick up my little teddy boy.
You too, Madonna. Great chat.
Thanks, everyone.
See you later, everyone.
Okay,
Thank you
have a
very
good
much.
one. Bye.